All right, we are in Psalm 105, and verses 7 through 15 really is the concentration tonight. And we've read them, but they're really, in verses 1 through 6, we learned that there were some meditations for us that would help us just before we go out and evangelize, or to even develop a burden for evangelism. And that's what we talked about last week. This week, really, verse 7 could have been included. Verses 7 and 8, actually, could have been included with these motives. It says in verse 7, "He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations." I think there are two motives there in verse 7 to reach the lost. You see them? The first is the Lord is our God. And the second there, his judgments are in all the earth. Now, I know that Israel had a responsibility to reveal Yahweh to the lost and dying world around them in their day. But we find parallels to their approach here in this psalm. I mean, we have a responsibility as well to reach the lost. And if the Lord our God is our God, which is a wonderful statement, if you just meditate on the first part of verse 7, to think that he is our God, the Lord our God, is a wonderful thought. He's the sovereign Lord, all capital letters there. Self-existing, eternal, never having a beginning or an end, from whom flows the source of all life and strength, everything that we need. He is the Lord, our God, the strong one. And he is our God. Okay, there is no one like him. And so that statement is really wonderful to think about. It gives us confidence in doing the work of evangelism. And another thing that gives us confidence in doing the work of evangelism is the statement that his judgments are in all the earth. Since this is true, that his judgments are in all the earth, then we need the Savior of all men. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look to him to save souls. He remembers his covenant forever, it says in verse 8. We know which covenant because the psalmist tells us which covenant. We don't have to guess. It's the one commanded for 1,000 generations. It's the one that was made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the covenant that was made to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And if it's an everlasting covenant, right, then that means that God will not forget it, like he says in the text, but it also means that God will not forget it forever. He will not forget it. He will always remember the promise that he made. Specifically, he promised that they would have the land of Canaan, like it says here in the psalm, as their allotment, or the allotment of their inheritance there in verse 11. I like this because it reminds me that God remembers every promise that he made. And that means that we shouldn't forget that the God who made these promises is the same God who will keep them. There isn't a promise that will fall to the ground. Every jot, every tittle will be fulfilled just as he said it would. And that's really comforting to know because we live in an ever-changing world, but we have an unchanging God. And because of that, we can trust in the promises that he's made. Verse 12, it says, "When they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, he made this covenant." That means they were feeble, which is a good thing for us and even for them. God's promises don't rest upon favorable circumstances. I mean, Israel wasn't Israel because of the fact that they themselves were great. They were little. And that's what he's telling us here. And that reminds me that God can take a small family like he did with Abraham's family, and he can make a large nation out of that family, which is exactly what he did. And God can take a small church like ours, filled with people that sometimes are impoverished spiritually, sometimes impoverished materially. But God can take us in spite of all of our weaknesses, and he can accomplish great and mighty things. He can use us to turn the world upside down. I believe that. Then he says in verse 13, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, and that happened in the day of Abraham, it happened in the day of Joshua too. Remember when we read the whole psalm last week, it was kind of a recapitulation of Israel's history. He permitted no one to do them wrong. It says, yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. So Israel is traveling from one Canaanite nation to another. They do that under Joshua. They do that even in the time of the kings. They're being assaulted by different nations. So we see that throughout their history. His kings, his priests, these are the anointed ones of God. And God's providential hand preserved them through very dangerous circumstances. No prophet died unless God allowed it. And when he did, he was done with that prophet. These were God's anointed ones. All right. Now, all of those right now chosen in Christ cannot be harmed until God is done with them. Right? Isn't that true? So they may kill the body, Jesus said, but they can't destroy the soul, right? Verse 15 reminds me of what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes. Just as he promised Israel, he promises us. In him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God. That's an important verse, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27 also says that we have an anointing. So I think verse 15 then in Psalm 105 needs to be understood in that light, especially today. But unfortunately, verse 15 has been horribly mistreated by people who are supposed to be Christian leaders. Now let me give you a few examples of this. Kenneth Hagin said, there are people attempting to sit in judgment right today over the ministry that I'm responsible for and the ministry that Kenneth E. Hagin is responsible for. Several people that I know had criticized and called that faith bunch out of Tulsa a cult, his group. And some of them are dead right today in an early grave because of it, and there's more than one of them that got cancer. And he used Psalm 105, verse 15, as his basis for that statement. That's in a book called Why All Are Not Healed. Paul Crouch, who is the mastermind, I think, behind TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, I think that's him, he said on TBN, I think they're damned on their way to hell, and I don't think there's any redemption for them, these people who touch God's anointed. I say to hell with you, he said. Oh, hallelujah, he said, in the very next breath. Get out of God's way. Quit blocking God's bridges, or God is going to shoot you if I don't. That's a Christian leader. He said later, same guy in a different program on the TBN, let him, referring to God, sort out all this doctrinal doo-doo. I don't care about it. Now, there are a lot of people that have that mindset. I don't care about doctrine. I just need to love people. Or I just need to make sure that I'm behind God's anointed. Right? Well, that's craziness. Here's a man by the name of Benny Hinn, who's an evangelist in these circles. He said, you hear this, getting everyone's attention. There are men and women in Southern California attacking me. I will tell you under the anointing now, you'll reap it in your children. You'll never win, and your children will suffer. You're attacking me on the radio every night. You'll pay, and your children will. Hear this from the lips of God's servant. You are in danger. Later he said this, dear God in heaven, this is a prayer. I wish I can just, you know, I have looked for just one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that says, if you don't like them, kill them. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head off. That's Benny Hinn. All right, now, you say these guys are really extreme. They are. But almost all the people in this group and that come out of this TBN group, and they're people that watch this stuff. Okay, all of these leaders profess themselves to be the Lord's anointed, and they use Psalm 105 and verse 15 as a proof text. And what they mean by using this for themselves is that you don't touch me. You don't criticize me. You don't say anything against me, because if you do, you're touching God's anointed. And I can fleece you upside down so that I can line my mansions in gold and have my cars and my planes and all of these different things, but and I can sin. I can commit adultery and have homosexual acts with the people in my congregation, and I can stay right where I'm at because you can't touch the Lord's anointed. Now, there are examples of all of that. And it doesn't limit itself to charismatic circles, folks. I've heard fundamentalist preachers use this text in that way. These leaders are saying that you can't touch them no matter what they do. Is that what this verse is talking about? Obviously, it's not. As children of God, let me just ask you, by reading the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, who are the Lord's anointed today? Every single Christian. Every single Christian. So here are these people who profess to be God's anointed under this special protection, and they are seeking to do harm to the Lord's anointed. Kind of ironic, isn't it? I think it's very ironic, and I think they will answer to it one day. I don't wish cancer on them or some kind of evil plague upon their children or anything like that, but I want you to know God knows, and God will search the hearts. Our goal in life is to live a life that is sober, to realize the position that we have in Christ as God's children, and to do so in great joy because of the position that we have in Christ. The kings, the priests, and the prophets that were being talked about in Psalm 105, they were anointed by God in a special way to be spokesmen for God, to lead God's people, certainly. Yet, 1 Corinthians 3 says, and I quoted this, I think, this past Sunday. It says in that verse that all things are yours. Now, who is that talking about? It's talking about you as a New Testament saint. All things are yours and Christ is God's. What does that mean? That means that we are going to reign with Christ. You say, well, why? Because we're submitting to Christ right now. Those who reign with Christ submit to Christ. And we have access to God through Christ. We are in Christ, so in that sense, we are anointed priests, aren't we? Isn't every believer a priest? Do you have somebody go to the Father for you? Do you meet me? Is the sound room double as a booth where I'm on one side, we put the lattice back up like we have for the graduation, you'll be on the other side, you can tell me all the things that you've done wrong, and I'll go to the Father for you? You say, no. So, well, what do? Then you go to the Father yourself and you confess your sin. You can speak to him directly. You say, why? Because you're in Christ. What a privilege. You have this position as a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. You can speak to God directly. And does God speak to you? He does. He doesn't speak to you in an audible voice, or at least he hasn't spoken to me in an audible voice. He speaks to me through the scriptures. Things are strongly impressed upon my mind, things that I know that God wants me to do, and ways that to obey him, and taking the way of escape as well. We are God's anointed because we are in Christ. No one can really do us any harm either, just like the text says. You say, well, why? Well, here's the reason. God works all things together for good. Then how can anyone possibly do us any harm? If God is working even our death for good, no one's doing us any harm. I kind of like that. I mean, God uses pain. God uses evil. God uses sorrow and sickness and trial and difficulty and adversity and even prosperity. God uses all of those things to transport me safely to my destination. You say, well, where is that? The Father's house, just like we were singing tonight. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You say, does evil exist in the world when it comes to the Christian? Yes, it does. But it can't harm us. Not one bit. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought that Peter was delivered out of prison, you know, because there were people praying for him, and the cell door opened, and Peter was miraculously delivered out. And then James in Acts chapter 12, he wasn't delivered out at all. But Herod took his head off. Did harm come to either of those men? The answer might be, well, a little bit more harm came to Peter. He had to stick around longer. James went immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Can we really say that any harm came to James? You say, but I wouldn't like to go through that. No, I wouldn't either. But that's not harm. Nobody can harm us. Not really. Because even if they take our body and they kill it, we're going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. What a shame that Psalm 105 verse 15 is used to abuse and fleece the sheep of God. And yet it is. Often supposed Christian leaders use this verse and they wad it up like a crook and they beat the sheep over the head with it in order to put themselves into a position of prosperity. When in truth these leaders are seeking to harm the very anointed that God is protecting. I think that that's a scary thought. I would not like to be that person. And all of us are God's anointed. So you say, well, what do we get from that when we think about that, that we're the anointed of God? Well, what we get from that is something more than what the world calls self-esteem. We marvel at this great position and privilege. All of the righteousness of Christ credited to our account. All of the advantages and privileges of a prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament. How can we not be the anointed ones of God? Here we are as the chosen ones, the beloved children. You say, what's the challenge for us? The challenge is to make sure that our condition in life reflects the position that we already have in Christ. That's the challenge. And God will protect us. And he will do so even as far as our body is concerned until he's done with us. That's a great thought. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to look into Scripture and even the wisdom and the discernment you'll give if we will pray and yield ourselves to you and not try to search for some way to preserve ourselves or to vaunt ourselves up and over others. But Lord, to look at the Scripture for what it says and to look at it with integrity and to appropriate truth and to apply it in a way that will honor you. We pray, Lord, that you would defeat these who would use your scriptures falsely to abuse others. And we ask, Lord, that you would keep us from doing the same. We pray it in Jesus' name.